I don't think there's ever a time we read this that I don't notice something that I hadn't planned on noticing. There's this business of breaking the legs of those who've been crucified. There's hardly any more heinous crime than those committed in the name of religion or faith, and that continues to this day in many ways. And it grabbed my attention this time around more than usual. If any of you have ever had your attention wander during or just not paid close attention to one or more of my sermons, you are hereby and definitively forgiven. This applies to past and future sermons as well as this one right now. So what occasions this absolution? Well, last night I failed to pay close enough attention myself. I simply left out an entire page of my sermon. I did think at the time, now, wait a minute here, I'm referring to something that I don't think I just said, a quotation from C.S. Lewis. Well, I know I quoted one, but there was a second one. And earlier today, just to be sure, I listened to the recording, which I don't usually do, and sure enough, I was right. I just jumped from the bottom of page 3 to the top of page 5. So I'll begin tonight with that omitted material because I still think it's pertinent on this Good Friday. Here's what I did quote, so you're going to hear some repetition. If you were paying attention, you might recall it. Lewis said, "What I call myself now is hardly a person at all. It's mainly a meeting place for various natural forces, desires and fears, etc., some of which come from my ancestors and some from my education, some perhaps from devils. The self you were really intended to be is something that lives not from our nature, but from God." Even though I quibble with the nature-God thing, because I think coming from our nature means ultimately coming from God. Still, I'm not here to quibble. It's good stuff. I'm still struck by Lewis's observations. Where I went after this was this. How apropos. That is, in the context of the evening before Jesus' death, and of words that Peter, no, I just said before his death. That should have been a tip-off right there. And of words that Peter uttered 3 times during Jesus' real and literal passion. Lewis recognizes Peter's suffering over this denial, and more important than that, the power of Jesus' forgiveness and God's love to convert a flawed or afflicted human being into the rock on which the church has been founded and from which it has grown for over 2,000 years. That word afflicted last night made me think, I should have just referred to afflicted. Frankly, it went all right in my humble opinion, but how much more sense it makes when I insert the omitted material, I think. Here it is. And as I said, I offer it now only because I believe it applies just as much on this Good Friday as it did last night at Maundy Thursday, or would have done. Remember, I'd been speaking about Lewis's quotation concerning the true self, which comes from God. Here it is. It is this self which Jesus embodied literally in his time among us human beings. This self he was really intended to be, directly from God's own self, if you will. And it is this self to which he calls all of us. evident in his washing the disciples' feet, evident in his commentary on that humble action. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should also do as I have done to you. To all except the slavishly literal, it is clear that this foot washing, like any other sacramental act, points well beyond itself to all acts of self-giving, humbling love. Jesus harshly judges Judas's betrayal, saying that it would be better for him never to have been born. At the same time, this is still from the stuff left out last night, at the same time, he tells him, do quickly what you are to do, knowing full well that this act of betrayal is a necessary part of the unfolding drama. No, not drama, tragedy. It is part of the pendulum swing I noted last night of foot washing, betrayal by Judas, the great commandment to love, and the prediction of Peter's denial of Jesus. In Peter's case, however, he makes no judgment, but merely states the facts as he knows them to be, or as they are to be. That is, he knows Peter's heart and his fear and his anxiety. And Jesus has already placed his trust in this all too human man. Another quote from Lewis. This is it. This time, in his posthumously published letter to Malcolm, seems particularly appropriate. Some people feel guilty about their anxieties and regard them as a defect of faith. But they are afflictions, not sins. Like all afflictions, they are, if we can so take them, our share in the passion of Christ. And Peter was not undone by his affliction, his anxiety. Rather, he devoted himself to loyal and faithful service, while he felt great remorse over denying knowing his friend and teacher, his rabbi. He was not paralyzed by the fear, nor by his remorse over his action prompted by that fear. And as I did say last night, we see in all this the power of Jesus' forgiveness and the power of God's love to convert a flawed or afflicted human being into the rock on which the church was founded and from which it has grown for 2,000 years and continues to grow, if not in numbers, in ways we are yet to see. What does this mean to us in light of Jesus' passion and death, which we commemorate today? It is certainly not the cheap grace to say, oh, it doesn't matter what I do, God will forgive you. That was the popular take on Roman Catholicism in my very Protestant hometown or neighborhood in the 1950s. Oh yeah, you just go to confession, everything's okay. A gross misreading of the sacrament of confession. Well, it's not that. Here's what it was and is, at least as I see it this Good Friday. It's that Jesus suffered and died, knowing what it was like for us human beings to do our best and still fall short, and to agonize over the shortfall, and to be tempted to give up on trying to do the right thing, compromising, turning our back on our conscience or our best selves, saying, It's just too hard. I can't do it. He knew and knows what it is to be afflicted in body and mind and spirit. And his offering of himself has accomplished in a way beyond the ability of words to describe. Folded out all of our afflictions and sins and missteps into that one action of offering himself on behalf of all of us. This is the offering too awful to contemplate, which we do contemplate on this day and in this week, but most pointedly on this evening. This is the limitless offering of God's own self, made incarnate in the person of Jesus, for all of God's creatures, all of God's creation. And our part is to be grateful and accept this grace that God, this grace of God, which we will celebrate tomorrow evening and Sunday morning and always. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.